This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, June 6th, 2007.
You made the real list.
Okay. All right, I'm going to call to order since we have a bunch of stuff to do today, and then what we'll do is kind of do things in reverse maybe and hope that other people find us if they drive to the boardroom like I was going to. Okay, so are there any late additions to the agenda?
Nope.
All right. I don't see approval of minutes on here, but I think we...
It was done only after the agenda.
Oh, was it? Okay. So did everybody pick up the minutes that were there on the table? We can go through those and give them a quick review. The first... We'll do oldest to newest. Okay. Okay. Minutes from February 21st. Has everyone had a chance to review these, or are they ones that didn't get sent out electronically? I can't remember.
Yeah, they.
Right? All three sets were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Sometimes I'm confused about what I see. So, are there any additions or corrections to the minutes from February 21st? Yes, Mr. Stein.
On page 3, I'm at, about halfway down, I'm attributed as saying the whole new orientation program is going under review.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like you.
Undergoing review. I hope I said that.
Going under.
In the pool right now.
Okay. All right. Anything else? So, given that change, can I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
I make a motion to accept the minutes as modified.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor of approving the minutes from February 21st?
Aye.
All right, minutes approved. The next set from March 21st. Are there any additions, corrections, or changes? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
All right, a second?
Yeah.
All right, all those in favor of approving the minutes from March 21st?
Aye.
Okay, minutes approved. And then the final set from Wednesday, April 4th. Do I have any additions, corrections, or changes? All right, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Can I have a second, please? All right, all those in favor of approving the minutes from Wednesday, April 4th?
Aye.
Okay, minutes approved. Well, the other handout that was there on the table, in addition to the agenda, was the 0708 meeting schedule. Can I please remind you that even though Amy is really good about keeping us on track with the dates of our meetings, please update your calendars so that you have these dates and times held. Amy, they're all reserved in the boardroom for next year? Geez, that's great. Okay. So 316 Day House, Fall 15 to 130.
Unless we get bumped.
Which happens sometimes. All right, great. All right, did I ask for late additions?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear any more coming in. Okay. Report from the chair. Thank you to everybody who was able to attend the trustee meeting a couple of weeks ago. Appreciated having you there. I thought that went well from my perspective, but I'd love to hear any comments that anybody has. No comments?
Good speech.
Thank you. Okay. I can make the written version of that available. Dennis has asked me to do that, so I will. And I'm not sure, I don't remember if we posted that on the EA website in the past or not. I think we did.
I think we should.
I think we did. So so I'll make sure that you all get a copy and ask that we post it there. I'm pretty sure we've done that in the past. So again, thanks everybody for attending. Michael's not here for the trustee report. What happened? I had a note about that. Oh, I picked up the wrong I made notes on this one and picked up a new one. Okay, thank you for reminding me. So before we move to the trustees report, let's see. I did want to mention that the executive committee met and earlier, just prior to this meeting, and it's a discussion that we've been having throughout the year and about the attendance policy and reviewing the attendance policy and people's attendance. As you know, the practice now is to have the sign-in sheet so that we can really be sure that people are attending and there's no. It's awfully hard with the recording to tell who really is there and who isn't. So it's a way to help not only. For the record keeping, but also for the person transcribing minutes, because sometimes you can match up a voice if you have a signature next to it, like, oh yeah, that sounds like Sebastian or Bill, but oh, Bill wasn't there, must be. So, anyway, to follow up on that, we will be sending out notices. It's actually going to be one of my final acts as chair to send out notices. To the folks who are in violation of that attendance policy, which is section 5.8 of the charter. So just so you know, we'll be following up with that. Okay, any questions?
What section is that again?
5.8.
Can we just, for the new members, can we just reiterate what the attendance requirement is or when you are in violation thereof?
Peter can do that.
Currently, according to the charter as it is, if you have three unexcused absences in a row, six unexcused absences altogether, or nine excused absences in any order, then you're out. And we're actually going to change the charter to simplify that, because even I don't understand exactly what that means. We're going to change the charter to simplify that. I think we're going to make it so that it's three any absences in a row or six total of any type of absence over the period of a year.
So that's something that'll be coming forward next year, yeah?
We're going to have the opportunity to discuss that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Because
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that. But
mm-hmm.
That's just me.
Yep. So, like I said, the notices will go out to folks who are in violation of the charter as it stands now. And then next year, whoever the chair is and whoever pursues that and drafts a resolution to change it, it would certainly come back to the committee for discussion.
May I ask who are the persons who are in violation of that?
No, you may not ask.
Can you give a number?
You can ask, but we can't.
I'm sorry?
Is there a number?
A number?
Two, three?
No, I don't know. More than one.
Okay. It's not you.
It's not you.
Your first name is possibly
here.
You're good.
Here.
You're good. okay.
And it's also a way to look at it that
sometimes it's hard for people to admit that they don't have the time to attend every single meeting, but there's other people that could attend every meeting, and the whole object of being on the employee assembly is to contribute to the group. So
yes.
I know Donna had to dismiss someone in the past. It was very difficult, but
I think as a whole, the group benefits because we were able to fill that seat with someone who was more active. So, I mean, there are only 13 of us, but it's tough enough as it is. But
okay, I can ask a question because I was out a couple months because of surgery. Am I on the list?
You're on the list.
Okay.
You're on the list. And I said it would be a notice. It didn't mean that it was automatically dismissal. So, you know what I mean? So that's why I didn't want to go into detail here because that's not fair. But it's something that we've been reviewing. And we just, I don't know, I just think it's fair, and the executive committee, we all agree that it's in fairness to everybody who contributes their time if somebody can't do it. And I mean, I think folks know who they are and who doesn't come on a regular basis. So, you know, if you can't commit to doing it, then you should allow someone to fill your seat if there's someone available. Yes.
Is there a leave of absence procedure or option for people who are going to be out because for medical reasons or something along those lines?
Yeah, and see, that's where the charter is just so fuzzy on that. And that's why we're talking about.
I think one of the points on that is that it's not a personal thing. It's not like we're holding against them that they don't show up or that we blame them. It's like they may have a very valid reason for missing meetings, but the point is that they can't really participate and contribute to the EA if they're not here. So if they're gone for an extended period of time, for any reason, no matter how justifiable, it would be nice to have someone else who is actively able to contribute to the EA. So it's really about the EA, not about the individual,
yeah.
For any reason.
Yeah.
I look forward to that discussion.
Yeah, me too. Yep. That'll be fun. As many of our discussions are. Okay. Okay, so was there any more to follow up on that? All right. So the trustees report, Mike, like I said, Michael's not here. He didn't send anything in advance. I don't know. You guys, some of you were there for the open session of the board meeting. The president gave his report, and the dean of the faculty gave his report, which actually I thought was interesting. If you listen to what he had to say, I found it kind of interesting because there were so many parallels with the EA. Did anybody else pick up on that? It was like they couldn't get faculty to get involved unless there was a cause or an issue or when he was emphasizing the importance of campus governance and the involvement. So it seems like the faculty are experiencing the same things. But yeah, how about that? But I thought, good. Okay, so old business. Or do you want to move into? I mean, I think it's 15 minutes into our meeting, so I think we're at. So should we move into the elections, or do you want to go to committee reports and think anyone else will be here? Do we have a quorum? I think we do.
Yeah, we do.
Well, yeah, Joe.
Yeah,
we're at, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, do we not have a quorum?
No, you do.
We do.
Okay. Okay.
We were just counting. Fingers
in. So, Hazel, do you want to go through the list of nominations for officers?
Yes.
You sent out in your email.
Do you want me to say who nominated them or just the person? For which office?
I don't know. Yeah, just the nominee.
Nominee.
Yeah.
For chair, we had Terry Howell, myself, Peter, Brian Cornell. Executive vice chair, we have Carrie, Tori,
no, I don't.
Leon, and Brian. Vice Chair of Internal Operations, we have Peter and Sebastian. Vice Chair for Finance and Secretary, we have Carrie, Tori, and Bill Liddick. And for Parliamentarian, we have Tori and Inda.
Okay. Do we have any additions to the nominations for officer? This would be your last opportunity. All right. Thanks, Hazel.
Now, in a follow-up, Carrie and myself both declined from chair. Executive Vice Chair Tori and Leon both declined.
Okay, and those are the only...
Yes.
Ones that declined. All right. Okay.
What was that last one?
Yeah. Carrie declined from what?
For chair.
For chair.
For chair.
Sorry, I get that one. Thank you.
Okay. So, we ready? Amy, do you have ballots ready and stuff? Okay. Great. So, for those of you who haven't been through this procedure before, we'll explain. For those of you who have, if I missed something, please jump in and help me out. What happens is the folks that are nominated are given an opportunity to speak to the group about why they would like that position. And then the candidates are excused from the room. The committee is allowed to discuss the nomination and then vote. Okay, did I miss anything?
The candidates come back in.
Yeah, candidates come back in, of course, at some point.
They get to vote too.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
No,
I'm sorry. They're excused for the discussion so that it's not an awkward situation. And then they come back in, and of course, they're allowed to vote. And then the winners, and not Amy, is the one who will collect. So, yeah.
And then just for clarification, could you announce for each position who the candidates are?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll go through.
Election separately, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the person or persons who are not elected to the seat, this will go down in order from the highest ranking seat down through the executive committee. So those that are not elected for chair, for example, would be eligible for the executive vice chair seat. And so those nominations carry down through the executive committee as we go through the offices. Okay, good. All right. So we start with the chair seat. The two nominations for chair are Peter Korolev and Brian Cornell. All right, so.
Statements?
Yeah, statements. How should I do this? Alphabetically?
Brian go first.
You defer?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let Brian go first.
Okay. Hope everyone's enjoying the summer so far. Well, when I first started this adventure into the employee assembly, I wanted to get involved. And I think the best way to get involved is to serve on one of these positions. I know that the employee assembly, from what I've learned about it, has made some great strides in the popularity of the college. The president's on board, HR's on board. I know that what we have to do in the future is to continue on with our current tasks and objectives that we've already been moving forward on. Hey, Sebastian.
Hey, Sebastian.
Just in time.
Just started the elections, and we're listening to Brian. The reason Brian wants to be chair. And the two nominees are for chair are Brian and Peter.
Okay.
The others have declined.
So all you missed was I said, want to get involved, and this would be a good way of doing it. I think that we need to increase and broaden our reach to all parts of the college. It's something, the university is something that we got to continue doing. We should harden and update our charter. As we find errors, we need to get them resolved. And Bill had a good issue. I think that the employee assembly needs to get involved in environmental issues. That's going to be a really huge topic for the upcoming year. And I have experience with these type of groups internationally and corporate level. I look forward to doing all that I can. I know I just had a new baby, so I haven't been able to be present for a lot of our activities, but the summer is going to give me time to he'll you know, be adjusted for it, and I'm a go-getter. Given the opportunity, you'll see me pretty much at 90% of the events unless something comes up unexpected. So I appreciate your vote and your consideration.
Okay. So questions for Brian.
What was your involvement
internationally? We had an international IT committee. It was China, Mexico, and the U.S., different locations throughout, and it was a committee to talk about different policies and laws involving IT and international trade.
Brian, would you share with the group a little bit about the conversation you and I had on the spot not so long ago? You're a relatively recent comer to Cornell. Can you talk a little bit about your background?
Oh, okay.
Prior to coming to Cornell?
Yeah, definitely. I ran into Dennis. I was coming back from the Johnson School. I take advantage of Cornell's education offerings. Right now I'm doing the extramural program. I just explained to Dennis, you know, I wanted to get involved, and what sparked my interest was the different committees on the Employee Assembly, the employee education, considering that I think that's really important for career enhancement and improvement, and I'm taking advantage of that. Just to be involved in an organization that addresses issues that come up about that is big for me. Finance is another issue that the Employee Assembly, you know, deals with on a day-to-day basis, and I've kind of geared my career to get involved in a lot of that and strengthening my skills with that. It's something that I want to continue doing. The disaster fund, I went through a flood last summer, and that's why I'm here at Cornell, so I definitely know the effects of that and the benefits of a program like we have here to assist people in need. So those are some of the things that sparked my interest, and I thought that I'd be a great fit for, you know, this assembly, this organization.
President Skorton talked a lot about having the EA and the other assemblies be more community involved. Do you have an idea of how we could do that as a committee?
Yeah, I actually do. If community involved, if there was a nonprofit organization or any organization, let's say, doing something, this summer could even be an example, where they're looking for volunteers, I think that it would be a good gesture, and it would also meet President Skorton's initiative to, you know, volunteer. It's not an employee. We could do maybe something joint. Maybe at Jomon to some event that's happening. Let's say the Red Cross is having a blood drive. We could either have volunteers be there to help out, or we could try to, you know, advertise and push the blood drive, just different things like that to get involved with the community. I think it's a great idea to do that. But, yeah, serving is definitely demanding on people's personal schedules. But I think there's enough of us that we can always have a representative or two, at least, at all of these different functions that present themselves. And I think that we just need to possibly find out about what's going on and then find out who to contact to get involved and see how they can use us, whether we're just laborers or whether we actually, like I said, jointly help assist run the event.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes?
I've got one more. Thank you, Squirrel. All right. I sort of see this as a job interview kind of thing. And so this is frequently a one that gets tossed out of job interview. Can you explain a situation in the past where you were in some sort of crisis situation in your professional responsibilities and how you solved that problem? And the reason why I ask is because Donna and other previous chairs from time to time find themselves between competing interests, and they have to resolve them, or they have to think quickly about what the best route for the employee assembly to take it. So can you share with something about your leadership in the past, how you took
show leadership in some crisis situations?
Definitely. First, I'll say I do remember one time I squirmed in a situation like this when I was at an interview for a computer lab instructor position, and they were asking me about all this crazy math. And I didn't know. I was just winging it. And it ended up, they thought I was interviewing for the math instructor position. But like 30 minutes into it, I'm like, yo, sweat's coming. I did get the position, but it was tough.
The math position?
No.
Wow,
God help
really
our future.
You were good.
That actually, in my field, that actually happens quite often. I can give a specific example, but I'll just give, you know, in general, to give you a little bit about my character and makeup. First thing that happens in any kind of crisis situation or disaster is, you know, remain cool. The last thing people want to see is panic from a leader. If a leader panics, then everybody panics. Then you got to look at what resources you have available and delegate to the best person, someone who can help you pull you out of the situation in a positive manner. Specific example would be the network goes down on the whole West Coast. I do IT. That's my field. Network goes down on the West Coast, and it affects our databases on the East Coast, and we don't have tech support on the West Coast, and contractors can't get there to do anything for a couple days. What do we do? We're going to lose money by the minute. And the best thing to do in a situation like that is get everybody involved. As many people that are available, get them together, brainstorm, come up with different ways of handling the crisis. I know moving in through the employee assembly for the next 2 years, there's people, well, everybody knows more about the employee assembly than I do. But I'm not the sole decision maker, you know, even as a member. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the experiences, but everybody else in this room together does, and that's what you need to use to come out of a situation like that.
Okay, thanks. You're
welcome.
Leanne, did you?
No, that's okay.
You're sure? Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question in 10 parts. Just
when I go outside, I'm not coming back.
Congratulations first on being a new dad.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Our main mission as an employee assembly is to advocate for all the employees of the university. Unfortunately, there are a lot of issues that I see that are interconnected. You know, like transportation may affect daycare programs or people's, you know, work schedules. Lots of, you know, easy examples. What do you see our continual and evolutionary role in respect to that type of, you know, fit for the university? What's our role going to be to advocate? How is it going to change and evolve over time, do you see?
Okay. I definitely think from what I've seen, we've had a good start at these issues and addressing them and having in-depth discussions. One of the things that I think is a major goal of the employee assembly in the future is to increase and broaden our reach, whether that be through some form of communication or whether that be that different employee assembly members embed themselves with other colleges. Sebastian, for instance, it would be your responsibility to pass on information to the College of Ecology, whether it's a personal email to them or whether you go to an all-staff and faculty meeting and speak for 10 minutes. At the College of AAP, Leon and I are both there. So we have a pretty good message spread throughout our college, but there's other areas that don't. By increasing the reach and increasing the communication, I think that all these issues together will have a good start at solving them as they come along. Everybody will be involved. We'll hear more about them.
You know, will we be seeking input from the colleges and units as well, or is just becoming the information?
I think as appropriate, definitely when it comes to something with transportation, it wouldn't be wise of us to have a discussion about transportation unless we had a transportation expert present. To invite somebody to come and speak about this and hear it, they might be able to offer a lot of insight into helping us shape our direction with it. And that's what I meant by embedding. If somebody, let's say, was embedded with transportation, let's say it was me, and I have a personal contact with transportation, I could personally offer an invitation for them to come, and I think that they'd be more acceptant to come and listen in.
Oh, Leon?
Yeah.
Yeah, huh?
We're not disappointed.
There are a lot of positive things, of course, about the EA. That's why we're all members. But can you share with us, if any, like one thing that's negative about it and how you would go about fixing it?
This came up, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think that we have to take a serious stance on, and this goes back to communication, and I'm glad we have a communication committee. It goes back to spreading our word to everybody. There's employees here that don't even know we exist. I was a new employee and never heard anything about the employee assembly. So it goes back to the meeting when we spoke about the election and who's going to help advertise and try to get people on board. Because of that, and the way it's been handled, in the way that we've got our message out there, or the limitations that we've had in doing that, I think that's negative. I think that we're the strongest. Well, the students are pretty strong, but just our sheer strength gives us the power to do a lot and have a lot of influence at this university. And I think by getting everybody aboard, we'll be able to drive home some issues that need resolved. So the negative part of the EA is that the word needs to be out there a lot more to know, hey, we are here, we're an elected body, we represent you.
Okay.
Yeah, we're okay. All right.
All right, so the remaining candidate for chair is Peter Corlock.
Great. Before I make my statement, I just want to say that I'm actually more interested in the position of IOC, but I want to keep my name in the hat for chair to kind of maintain integrity of the election process and give you guys a choice. I've been on the employee assembly for 2.5 years now. I've been working at Cornell for just a little bit longer than that. And, and I've been a student at Cornell as well, when I was way younger.
Many years.
And as a matter of fact, and even before I worked at Cornell, all the jobs I've ever had have been in educational environments, schools. I worked at BOCES and high schools and whatnot. And the reason I feel it's important is because working at a place like Cornell is very unique challenges. There's a lot of, for example, in the business world, there's just like one direction. They tell you what to do and you go that way, and everyone pretty much goes that way. But in the university, there's so many different goals. Right, diversity and this and that, and we have so many different goals. Even if someone says we're going to work on this, but we have to keep this in mind, we're going to also do this. And, it's very difficult. And, we see that in EA too, we'll have a lot of different ideas and have a lot of different directions. So I think, in my experience, I've kind of had a chance to see the way the EA operates and how individual people relate to each other on the EA and stuff like that. And I think part of the challenge is not just having ideas and having that energy, which Ryan definitely has, and I really like everything he has to say, but also knowing what you can expect from people and knowing how to be able to push those people in a way that encourages them to, participate and to enjoy participating, but without a way that overbears on them or causes stress, because a lot of times I have a lot of ideas and they'll just fall through because we don't have follow-up or, whatnot. And when you ask that question about what's negative, thing I first thought of in answer to that question in my own head was kind of lack of follow through on our ideas and then how many things we come up with there. Difficult to follow up with. So, and there's like I missed that idea, and I hope you bring that back.
Some people might not know what that means. I know some new people don't know what that means.
So I think.
Cat shot your foot. Your cat didn't shoot.
So I think, and ironically, in our pool of candidates, I'm kind of like the old man because we have a lot of our, really older folks, in terms of longevity on the EA. are leaving the,
not
the executive committee. Which is crazy because they just join the EA when they're like 15.
You know?
So, or leaving. So I'm actually the older person. I think it's valuable to have that experience, that knowledge about what you can expect from EA and how you can handle the details. You know, it's balanced, all those, and be able to work with everyone on EA. Plus everything he said, I'm just going to feel that, add that to what I just said.
Really,
the only thing I can add to that is just my experience and knowledge I've acquired working on EA over that time.
All right, questions for Peter.
I got to ask one. You say you're actually more interested in the other position. How seriously are you interested in the chair position?
Well, I would be able to do a lot of the things as chair that I would be able to do as IOC. So if I won this position, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I would give it just as much energy. And now all the ideas and things I want to do, what I wanted to do as IOC, I would try to contribute to those and do those as chair. So it's not that I'm so. I've worked a lot with Donna about a lot of the, you know, as on the exec committee, and just through emails, we communicate a lot about various issues. And I've been there for, you know, all the chili chats. You know, I did a lot of the presentation for those and other events, and I've contributed a lot to those kind of planning and ideas, you know, on the communication committee and just offline. So I put a lot, you know, not just, you know, here and committees, but just offline. I've also done a lot for the EA and have kind of gained a lot of experience offline as well. So, you know, I think any position by as chair, I would definitely have more to do on, but, you know, same thing, be able to use that experience to the best benefit.
Representative from Geneva.
I have a question.
Sure.
I think we all can agree that one of the most important functions of a chair is to be a motivator.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that one of our problems has been not following through. Can you give us an example in your past, or even give us a projection of the future, how you either motivated in the past or how you would propose to motivate this group?
All right. Well, actually, it's kind of just very recently, yesterday, I took a time management course with Jim Sheridan, which a lot of you know him. He's an excellent instructor. And it was actually a really great course. And one of the ideas that we got right from that course, the idea of making a list of tasks and prioritizing them and working in order, which kind of really improves your ability to follow through on your own work. And it just reminds me of a lot of things Jim has done for us. We've gone through the summer camps. We get together for a day and we make a list. And I think one of the things I would do is take one of those lists we've already made, or maybe we'll make a new one this summer, and actually go through and say, who's doing this, and keep following up and bring it with me every time. And, you know, are we done with this? Check it off. Is it in progress? Okay, we'll put a dot next to it. You know, who's working, kind of like, because we lose those lists, and I think it's actually valuable. We have a lot of stuff we want to do, and often the case that we just forget. You know, we have an idea, maybe we can't do it right away, or maybe someone else was working on it, dropped out. But, you know, we forget about it, nobody else takes it up. So I think just kind of keeping track of what we're working on and bringing it with me every day and seeing what's going on with that.
Okay. Did I make you have a question?
Here's your main question.
Peter, I'd like you to reflect back on this past year and then forecast ahead to next year. What was perhaps the most disappointing aspect of the EA this past year? What could we do to remedy that next year? And what do you think the biggest challenge of the EA next year would be?
I think, you know, I agree with what Brian said about communication, getting a name out there. But in terms of just us as a group, you know, we've lost a lot of people, and others have had difficulty kind of, and I'm not blaming anyone. I think all of us work a lot, and we all have our own challenges and things to keep up with. I think one of the challenges is what I just mentioned is difficult to kind of keeping track of where we're at and what we're working on. You know, we've had a couple of really great things, the Chili Chat, the leadership lunches, you know, the education, staff education, a couple other things that we've really succeeded on. But I think there's a lot of other things, you know, high flying and, you know, some of Brian's ideas that it's important to be able to pursue. So I think, you know, it's one of our biggest place where I think we've lacked last year is you know, in terms of participation and follow through, basically. And that, you know, again, it's not the fault entirely fault of the individuals, it's just workload. But I think as a chair, it's important to be able to see where we're at and say where I used to remind people to kind of encourage them to work, and I say, oh yeah, I got sidetracked, but I'm interested in this, I'll keep working on it. Because I don't think there's a lack of interest for sure, and I think people really genuinely want to contribute and have a lot of really excellent ideas, and they'd like to see those come to conclusion, but because of workload and time, it's hard for us to necessarily follow through. And so as chair, it's important to push people along and say, you know, where are you on this? And just kind of give them a little reminders and encouragement, you know, not bossiness, not, but just like, you know, a little lift and a little help and suggestions. And, right.
Yeah, Dan.
Can you give, like, one example of an idea or for a potential project where we could, say, enhance our relationship with the student assembly, the faculty senate, and the university assembly?
Well, I like the idea of the open forum thing with the president, which we talked about before, and having an open forum where staff, students, and faculty just come together, maybe in Willard Strait or in a plaza or something, where everyone can come together and talk, and having our presences there, and people become aware of that there's, you know, not just the president, but there's these other bodies representing staff, students, and faculty who are available to work for them and help them out. So I think kind of those kind of events would be good ways to bring people together. And, you know, we've also talked about having individuals from our committee join, or not join, but at least sit in on the other committees and throw in our own words, see what they're doing, tell them what we're up to, and kind of just kind of an interconnection between different committees. Other ideas like that.
Okay, any other questions? Yeah, go.
All right. You mentioned a lot about the ideas that are out there, but you the individual, if you the chair, do you have a plan that you can put on this table to explain to how you would make the ideas become realistic? They're out there,
mm-hmm.
but they will still be out there if you like the chair mm-hmm. and have that plan to bring them forth. Do you have a plan that you would like to talk about at this time?
It's kind of what I've touched on, an idea of keeping track of what we're working on. And continuously following through and seeing what our progress is on a particular plan. If someone brings forth an idea and it's a really good idea and we discuss it, and then, you know, I'd make a note of it on my own personal little chair list or whatever and say, you know, every meeting or every couple of meetings, say, we'll put it on the agenda, where are we on this, what's the progress, or in the committees, planning committees, and just even offline, email and say, where is this you need of my help, can I help you out with this, you know, I'll gladly, you know, join meet with me or as a committee or whatever, just kind of following through, not just pushing people, actually making myself available to help, to make suggestions, to bring up ideas or to meet or whatever it takes to make those ideas come to fruition.
Have you ever had to do that, play that role in the past in your life?
Well, you were on the EA, I think, for the chat. I don't want, you know, blow steam up my ass, but I think I had a large part. I had a very large part in I think I had a very large part in making the chili chats happen, and also the follow-up apps and producing the reports and making those come out, and just, you know, both here on the EA and the communications committee, and I did a lot of offline work communicating back and forth with Donna and the other individuals who participated in chili chats, and I think just that experience kind of, like, a lot of that work was done by me, and I was glad to do it. You know, it was something I was interested in, and it was a good experience for me. And, you know, something like that, I look forward to doing that in the future again.
Sure. Okay, one or two points.
Mm-hmm.
What two issues are the most important issues you think we should try to achieve this year? What's number one on your list, and maybe number two? Money point.
Part of the reason I was interested in being the IOC is because the issues that stick out in my mind is us working well as a group. And I know there's a lot of external issues that we all face, staff issues and whatnot, but I don't think we can even really deal with those until we as a body are able to take something, an issue, a staff issue, and then bring it up and then do something about it and have it come to completion. So my kind of personal goals are being tasky in a sense, like what I talked about before, being tasky and just keeping up on things. Like if something's brought forward, make a note of it, and then wherever it's short, if it's small agenda or short ideas, having those there available and coming up. So I think because everyone here, I think, is smart, way smarter than I am, and, you know, comes up with way better ideas than I do. spot, they get kind of lost in the shuffle. So, and like Brian said, you know, the chair is just one person. It's really important to have the entire body of the EA helping that. But as a chair, what I can do is, you know, be the guy that kind of collects those ideas, keeps them in one place, and just keeps kind of driving them and bringing them together. And I think it's kind of the job of the chair is to, you know, make the EA work, you know, and then the EA, the body, brings those ideas and makes them happen. So that's how I see, kind of see my position and the challenges and the most important things.
Okay, so I want to try to give both candidates equal time, so I'm going to cut off the questions now.
So we go.
And ask you two to please be excused from the room.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. All right. So, any discussion about the candidates and their statements, or are we ready to vote?
I don't know if this is
yes,
the idea or not, but I'm just wondering with the do you have the charter in there, right?
Okay.
I'm just wondering if the definition of what the EA, how they define these different positions, is it worth it or not?
Oh, to read the responsibilities for the chair?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you want them read out loud, or you just want the individual?
Yeah, if you have it right there, I don't want to go through his book. I don't have it with me.
I would love to if I can find it. I just looked at it earlier.
4.1.
Chair responsibilities. The chair shall have full responsibility for the smooth and effective operation and maintenance of the EA. That person shall preside over meetings of the EA and delegate responsibilities to ensure the accomplishment of the duties of the office and the goals set forth in the EA charter and bylaws. The chair and vice chair for internal operations will conduct an organizational meeting with all the chairs of the EA standing and ad hoc committees at the beginning of each election year. The chair of the EA, where it appears timely and appropriate, shall select a committee of the EA to appear as business of the day. In those cases where, due to lack of continuity of membership or other extenuating factors, any standing or ad hoc committee of the EA shall indicate a lack of cohesive leadership, the chair of the EA, with the approval of the assembly, can invoke the option of directing that the chair or co-chair of that committee shall be a member of the EA. And lastly, the chair of the EA shall serve as spokesperson of the EA, correspond with the president of the university, enumerating actions taken by the EA and soliciting a response, and prepare and submit an annual year-end report to the EA and university president.
Can I follow up on that and ask our present chair what you feel are the three most important responsibilities, the three most challenging responsibilities of the chair?
Ooh, well, important and challenging are two different things. important responsibilities. Well, you know, I mean, I think it's as the chair, you're like the cheerleader. You're the person who's there to encourage everybody to be at meetings and participate in events and inspire energy for the things that we're working on. And so I think, you know, being the cheerleader certainly is important. Helping to keep things organized is another really important factor of the chair, kind of like what Peter was saying. I mean, if you don't, the work that's done in the committees is so important here, because if you don't have that stuff happening within the committees, it doesn't feed up through the EA, and then momentum gets lost, and that's why the follow through doesn't happen. So those are, I think, probably the two big ones. And then, I mean, last but not least, certainly, is maintaining good political relationships with, you know, Mary Opperman, of course, and the president. So you want to make sure that you don't say the wrong thing or
print the wrong thing. So maintaining those relationships is really, I guess those would be the three most important things.
Are those also the three most challenging things?
Well, it's probably pretty close. You know, I mean, there's the whole time management thing as chair. That's really challenging, you know, depending on what your job is like and what your circumstances are. So there's a lot of responsibility that goes along with it.
Thanks.
Yeah, sure. Okay, are we ready to vote? All right, and maybe I'll ask you to collect the ballot.
You're going to get called for it.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, they get to vote, don't they?
They come back here.
They get to vote.
They're probably going to cancel each other out. But
they're
going
to Yoo-hoo, boy. They went for a beer. They really did go for a beer. No, you get to vote. Right.
We were just beating each other up.
We thought we had to
fight that. That was crazy. Hey.
Anything to eat?
I was saying, excuse me. Over there. He's doing panels, don't call on
him. No. What facility do people use? All right. And Amy will count those up for us. All right. And just to, so you can be thinking about it while she tallies those up, the executive vice chair, Tori Jacobs declined, Leon Lawrence declined, which leaves Carrie Howell and Brian Cornell as candidates pending the outcome of the ballot counting that's going on over there. So what I'm trying to say is we may only have one candidate for executive vice chair. Then you wouldn't have to give a statement, no, okay? You still have to give a statement. I would hope so.
You're making this really suspenseful.
Can I?
She's like, Donald, no right in.
Okay. And then. Congratulations, Brian.
Thank you.
You're the new chair.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
That's right.
All right, so Brian is our new chair, which knocks him out of the running for executive vice chair.
That was easy.
But keeps, I'd just like to say, but keeps Peter in the running for vice chair of internal operations. So, Carrie Howell, congratulations. You are the new executive vice chair for the employee assembly. Would you care to give a statement? Okay.
First of all, I would just like to clear one thing up. I know there was a little confusion when I came in the, you know, today and someone said that I declined for the chair position. And that's true. And what I had done is when I first found out that I was nominated for chair, my passion doesn't lie there at this point in time. And so I had declined that. But I declined to Donna and also to Peter. And so unfortunately didn't make it on the agenda, but I had made that decision about a month ago. So I just want people here to know that I had made that decision a while back and had actually formally declined. So there's any confusion with that. But my passion does lie in the vice chair position at this time. What I see when I read through the charter and the vice chair's responsibilities, they directly match up with what I'm good at. That's communication. And for the wellness program, currently I'm the assistant director here at Cornell, and I would say 90% of my job is communication, whether it be one-on-one with individuals, going out to departments all around the university, organizing events. I send out a weekly email that probably some of you receive. It goes out
up to 3,000 people at Cornell, staff, faculty, and retirees. And I've been doing that for probably about 2 years now. So I'm very nitpicky with the communication and what it looks like, the message it delivers, and how people can relate to it of all different levels across the university. This is what I do, this is what I love to do. I make brochures, pass it around. Thank you, Dennis. I work with Dennis on the conference board for communication for the staff newspaper. So as you can see, I take pride in what I do, and I take pride in it because I've had feedback from all across the university for people saying I could relate to that, I could understand that. Thanks for including what I mentioned as important in what you write. So I like to receive feedback. I like to go out and actively get feedback. And then I like to disseminate the information. As I mentioned, I've been on the Fawcett board before, and I thoroughly enjoyed working with Dennis. And I think that throughout my career here, which has been about 6 years now, Dennis, as well as working on the board, taught me a lot. Isn't that nice? Yeah. You can pay me later. But it did teach me a lot about communication and how it's delivered and really a key point to it. So not only did I bring something to the board, but I also took a lot with me as well. And that's true for all of my time that I've spent here at Cornell. I've taken things and learned things along the way. I received my master's degree while I was working here at Cornell. Yes. And I continually just promote education and further my education by working on committees and also through formal education via the web or by going to school for it. What else? I've also run large campaigns across the university, so National Employee Health and Fitness Day, where we drew out about 700 to 800 Cornell employees to celebrate fitness and to get people involved, to take walks around BC Lake. In addition to that, I've run the Every Step Counts campaign, which helps to disseminate pedometers to employees at Cornell. We've gone through, I think, almost 4,000 at this point. So the pedometers at a very low cost, people have purchased them. And the campaign drew about, I think, 600 people who were actively recording their steps and participating in a competition that was campus-wide that I had designed with the help of the wellness team. And lastly, one thing I'd like to bring up is that throughout the past 6 months, the wellness program, one of the initiatives that I've worked on and been spending a lot of my time devoting towards is that most of our larger campaigns that we run or health fairs or health initiatives that we've been producing, we notice that the same 500 or 600 or 700 people show up. And a lot of that has to do with flexibility in the workplace and other just job and outside the job responsibilities. So instead of saying, well, that's what we're gonna get, we said, or I said, let's go and reach out to each department. So we've been going, I myself and staff and my supervisor, we've been going to each individual department and trying to tailor programming to meet the needs of people who may only get a break for 5 minutes during their shift. So that's all I would like to say. I'll open it up for questions. Thank you.
Gary, what this upcoming academic year, 2007-2008, in terms of communication, do you have any thoughts or ideas, one or two, about what might be different than in the past?
Mm-hmm. As far as EA specific,
communicating.
I've sat on the board for about 2 months, I would say now. I don't know, I haven't kept track. But in that time, although it has been limited, in that time, there are a few things that have come up in discussion that I would definitely like to see take more shape. One of them being a brochure or something for the EA, and I know that's being worked on. So many of these things are being worked on currently, but
but I'd like to see them through the end in completion. Election package and just getting more people involved through whatever means possible. Even by saying every single board member here has a responsibility to bring at least two people to a meeting. Just to, you know, to actually lay the responsibility on and say, hey, Kat, you need to bring two people here next meeting. You know, and that will get the word out in one way. Ideas like that that I'd really like to see the word get out there in whatever way possible. I manage the website for the wellness program as well. And over the past, I would say, 2 or 3 years, I've thought about joining the EA and looked for some information and read about it in paw print, but I still felt like I don't get it, you know? I get part of what they do, but in order for me to want to join something, I'm a person who likes to have more details. You know, you'll have to do this, this is what we're involved in, and then I say, okay, great, let me join. You know, I want to do that, and I want to further it. So I think that type of communication, and maybe even more throughout the year, I've seen the articles that have been written in paw print, and I think that's a great step towards helping to get people involved. But still, something's falling short. And I still think that it has to do with communication. That's what we're here for. So really nailing down what's falling short and trying new things. And that's what the committees are always about. We try new things, and then we can see direct results. We want more people to apply for elections, and we aren't getting any more, then we have to go back and say, all right, what news do we try? I mean, you don't blame people. We did this. You said, let's try this, and it didn't work. Well, we learned from it. It didn't work. Let's move on. Let's try something new.
All right, we're running really short on time, but I'm glad that we've made it thus far through the election. So for Vice Chair of Internal Operations, Peter already had a chance to give his statement. So is there anything that you want to add to what you've already said?
Just that in terms of my main goals, I think IOC is perfect for me in order to focus on having the EA work together as a group and having working well. And I'll be on the exec committee, so I'll be able to work with the chair and the vice chair on all those issues. So I'll be able to focus on the EA as a group while they focus more on the broader stuff relating to the staff. So I think IOC will be a perfect position for my personal goals and what I want to help the EA do.
Okay. Sebastian, you've got 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I'm a communications and writing major. So I think in a support role, as I was functioning with the position, I would be extremely valuable with submitting information. I believe that the key to getting people involved with the EA is to give them a sense of empowerment so that they can actually contact us, they will be heard, and we will act on every individual employee's, you know, feedback. You know, if people feel that they can't, you know, turn to us and get a timely response to an inquiry about, I don't know, healthcare or something, then they're not even going to approach us. Also, I completely support the idea of having an employee assembly council non-voting membership. I think that will broaden our reach and we'll be able to cultivate more in future members to this assembly from that.
Great question for Sebastian.
Go ahead.
Sebastian,
yeah.
I'm not familiar with
what
you do at Cornell.
I work in a hotel school in the Alumni Affairs Development Office, helping with stewardship of gifts and development of the different donors. Ask people for
money. Maybe you should be running for funding.
Yeah.
That's a tough job.
All right, so any questions for our candidates? All right, we'll ask you both to step out of the room for our discussion.
Mike Wells back out.
Go have another beer. All right, okay. Discussion. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't see.
Could we make the responsibility?
Oh, sure. Yeah, Carrie, thank you.
Well, I'm looking for it. Donna, can you tell us what would have been really helpful or what is really helpful in someone who has that position?
For the executive vice chair or for, sorry, yeah, IOC. Oh gosh, you know, I think that, again, it's funny because it's sort of a cheerleader role in a lot of ways, IOC, because you need to make sure that the committees are all properly staffed, that you've got people joined on committees where they're supposed to be, so there's that piece of it. I sort of look at that person as the recruiter for the employee assembly, to get people, non-EA members, to join and get them to meetings and do that kind of thing. And then for the elections, it's just that sort of crunch time of year when the IOC chair really needs to be focused on getting the election together and working well with the Office of Assemblies to coordinate that effort. You know, I mean, I think a little bit about understanding the charter is helpful, and you don't have to be an attorney or anything, but you know, if you have a penchant for that sort of thing and kind of like policy, then it's a good place for that type of person who's into detail. I don't know, anything you want to add?
No, I concur with everything you said.
Yeah, a recruiter is, I guess, a good way to put what I call that.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about the committee, the committee piece. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What is Peter currently doing?
He's kind of doing a little dual role right now between acting as a parliamentarian and vice chair of internal operations. The person that we had in the internal operations thought dropped off the EA, so Peter and I just kind of tried to pick up those responsibilities to make sure that we had somebody.
He has experience already doing that.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically been serving in that capacity as in a kind of dual role because we lost that.
For how long?
3 months?
2-3 months now.
Since the election.
Right, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that was it.
I guess I would just like to offer my support for Peter in this role because I mean, the word cheerleader, I don't know how more perfectly that could match him. I think that he truly believes in the EA. I think he's put a lot of time and effort and energy into keeping this group flowing and moving ahead. I think he's diligent in his attempt and effort to maintain our status in the community. I think that he would do a very good job for us, making sure committees are fully staffed and encouraging involvement in programs and committees and such. So I don't know Sebastian. I mean, he's pretty new to the group. I would love to see him involved. I would hope that even if he didn't get this role, that he would continue to pursue, you know, involvement in the future on the exec committee. But I do see Peter as a pretty solid cog in that executive wheel. I think he would do us well.
Yeah.
I did talk with Peter outside. Kind of like Carrie, you mentioned about your passion. The IOC is his passion. Really has that in his heart. He enjoys what he's doing. I think he'd bring a good experience to the table in that role.
All right, we all set to vote?
Yes.
Okay.
Bring him in.
Bring him in. Thanks, Amy.
see here. Is your shirt green or is that black? Is that a dark green?
Smoky gray.
It is.
Smoky gray.
We all have
to. It only looks smoky gray against the tan, but it's supposed to be black.
It's black.
It is black.
Does that weigh in discussion?
Yeah. Why did you dress like
we actually brought that up on spot as much as talking about what we wore. So you look much better, so.
The bright side versus the dark side.
All right, as Amy tallies up the votes, and we look to the remaining two seats, we have Vice Chair of Finance and Secretary and Parliamentarian. I'd just like to point out that Tori Jacobs is a candidate in both of those offices, and she is not here. So I wanted to get a sense from you all on how comfortable you were in going ahead and voting in these positions without her being here. I hadn't seen a vitae from her, and she wouldn't be here to give a statement. So I just wanted to throw that out to the group before we
continue. So no one knows what she's not here?
I'm not aware. No. Amy, I don't know if... Yeah, really. I
I would suggest that we move ahead. She's fully aware that she is on the ballot. I think that her presence here today, I would assume, had to have been an emergency or else she would have been here. But I would hate to hold up these final elections as a result.
Mm-hmm. And I do think she was present at our last meeting, which we thoroughly talked about this meeting being the election meeting.
We did. Yeah, I just wanted to understand the comfort of the group. Okay, very good.
And I would like to also request that we extend our meeting for another 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion around that? Are we all good to go? Okay. All right. 5 minutes.
Now you go.
All right. And the new Vice Chair of Internal Operations is Peter Corlock.
Dark wind.
So, Sebastian, this means that you are eligible for the two remaining seats. So, shall we add your name to those offices?
I guess sure.
Okay.
I'm
nothing prepared. That's okay. You've already given a statement, and your enthusiasm for the EA would be the same, I would think, in either of those offices. So. All right. So, for Vice Chair of Finance and Secretary, the candidates are Carrie Howell is already our Executive Vice Chair, so she's off. So we have Tori Jacobs, Bill Liddick, and Sebastian. And Sebastian, since you've already given a statement, just quickly, if you had anything to add to that, if you were to be the Vice Chair of Finance and Secretary.
Well, I work with money every single day here. I'm personally located $300,000 that's in the gift pending designation and been able to move that into the appropriate capital. Some of the students, the 90s, I'm incurring no interest for the university, which is appalling.
Yeah, we've run into that before.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
So, good luck,
Catherine. Great. Okay, do we have any questions for Sebastian?
Okay. Can you touch on that
money? 2% they said no.
So, Bill, are you ready to
give
a statement?
Sure.
Great.
First of all, I'm going to say I consider myself a very straightforward guy. It was kind of a surprise nomination for me. I realized it once on the email that went out about 2 days ago. But I will also say that it's not my passion by any means. Minutes and finance, but I certainly would be more than glad to help with it. Anything I do, I definitely put in 100%. I am passionate about the employee assembly. Quite honestly, learning more about it, I think I'm kind of in Carrie's area of, you know, trying to understand and make some sense out of it. I think, you know, the basic concept of it is very good. I think, obviously, with the amount of employees we have here, we need that kind of presentation out there for the president, for other groups and so forth. As far as my experience in these areas, finance, people don't know me that well here. I have been in Cornell for about 2.5 years. I'm a systems project manager. managing a project that has a budget of around $500,000 and responsible for that. We are on budget. But prior to that, and probably more importantly, I was in the corporate world. I was vice president of materials for some electronics companies, handling multi-million-dollar budgets, dealing with personnel, inventory, systems, you pretty much name it. So as far as budgeting is concerned, I'm very comfortable there, and think I certainly could do a good job in that area of maintaining the budget and making sure we're putting the money into the right places, and also, quite honestly, getting the most out of it, because it is a minuscule budget we have here. Actually, the last two companies I worked for, I was actually asked to come in as people that I knew. They asked me to come in because they were on the verge of bankruptcy, and my job was to take care of the materials end and sell off inventory and raise money as much as possible to keep the companies afloat until we could turn things back around. So, I guess that's my experience.
Can we have both? I will help him.
Work both ways.
The finance committee.
Yeah, that's right. You know, be joking.
So, questions with Bill? Yeah, Dennis, go ahead.
So, Bill, what EA inventory would you sell off in order to raise funds?
Well, let's see. How much? We wouldn't do much there.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, you say you do everything you can while you're being finance chair, but being on the exec committee, what would you do as a member of the executive committee to work with the chair, vice chair, and the other members? Like, what would you do?
Well, it's funny you say that, because one of the things that you brought up when I was listening was the talk of setting priorities and so forth, and right away it popped in my head, and I was actually going to send you something on it. And as the leader of departments, I had actually put together some continuous improvement programs that actually chart out priorities based on cost-benefit analysis and how you decide which ones you should go after and then track them and so forth. So I'd be very interested in that area of setting priorities and whatnot, very specifically. I think my project management work and organizing things and how you keep moving forward and so forth, I also think would be very good for the executive committee.
Okay. Any more questions of Bill? All right. Can we excuse you for our discussion?
Sure. Okay. I'm ready for beer.
It's a keg out in the hallway.
Yeah, right. Probably dry already.
We left it out there for you guys.
Come on, Bill.
All right. Okay, Leon.
So 5 minutes is actually up. We need to extend another 5 minutes.
Okay.
I would say another 10.
That's all I was going to say.
All right. Hazel, if you can't stay, then.
Well, I'm not going to go now.
All right. I was going to say, you can cast your vote and I'll put it in for you. Okay. So, discussion on this position.
I think that Bill actually kind of has a lot more to offer through the experience and being a member of the executive committee. I think Sebastian, we definitely encourage you to join the finance committee, because there's a committee before it's been just at on it, but there's nothing that says we can't have a committee that works together. But in terms of having a person on the executive committee, I think Bill has more to offer with his experience as background.
Well, Peter, I totally agree with you.
That's it? Yeah, to me it seems like Sebastian has a lot of creative and good sound ideas. But I think that Bill, in this role, would portray himself more as a leader for more areas than finance.
Yeah, it sounds like Bill has the practical background.
He's a project manager,
right.
And that's not
but, great. You know, Sebastian could find his money. I'm all for that.
I was just going to comment, if the consensus of the group is to go with Bill, then I think it's really important for the group to also find a budding leadership position for Sebastian. Because it appears he's very interested in having a leadership role in this group. So I think if this is not the leadership role for him, then the group needs to think hard, including our new chair, as to where he could be poised, where he could put him so his enthusiasm to assist with the group also is cultivated.
Yeah, I mean, there are always those opportunities that come up during the year, too, where we need someone to head up a committee, like an ad hoc committee, or
You know, I mean, look at Chili Chat or something like that, you know. So there are...
You might be good like an event coordinator type role.
So just to...
So in terms of discussion...
So are we all set with that?
Why don't you just do a vote instead of the bell? Make the vote faster.
Should we just...
Turn and vote.
Yeah.
Make it quick.
I can't.
While Amy is picking up the votes, I would like to make a motion to suspend the rest of the agenda.
Okay, any discussion on suspending the rest of the agenda, which includes the new business and committee report?
No.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Agenda suspended. Okay, and as Amy begins to tally those up, pending the outcome of this election for parliamentarian, we have Tori Jacobs, Inda Mailer, possibly Sebastian DiGiorgio, and possibly Bill Wittig. So we'll keep those candidates in mind. In the interest of time, since we've already heard from Sebastian and we've heard from Bill, Inda, would you like to give the committee the reasons why you would like to be parliamentarian?
I like to be involved with the governor of the EA. I did obtain a book of Robert's Rules, and I do have a copy of the charter, which I must say there's things that I need to update myself on. But having been a part of our meetings, a lot of our meetings are pretty standard and things and procedures and so on. As far as having to the executive committee, I do have different views. Because like, we work in a different environment than many of the rest of the assembly. And I, for those of you who don't know, I work at the Dartmouth Club. So I am on a bench. I am a design strength. And I do have to work out my work schedule, I think. So I can't leave it unattended. So if somebody's covering my bench when I am, I'm expensive. I kind of offer a different viewpoint from the employees as well. It's a personal position.
Okay, so questions of Inda?
Dennis?
Inda, for those who are new to the committee, how long have you been on the employee assembly?
I'm sorry,
my second
term.
The results. The correct answer. Okay. So the new vice chair of finance and secretary for the employee assembly is Bill Wittig.
I can't wait to give you all my stuff.
Yeah. You got it here with you, probably?
Nope, I don't.
Including that whopping deficit, right?
Yeah.
So, Sebastian, given that you're in the running for parliamentarian, also.
I'll withdraw and work for Bill.
You can still be chair of a committee and participate on another committee.
That's fine.
So you're still working.
All right.
I think they should move.
Yeah, so can we please, unless there are any questions for either of the candidates, can we ask the two of you to be excused for our discussion? Thanks. Go empty the keg. All right. Any discussion for the parliamentarian seat?
Go ahead.
Well, mine was more of a question of process. If you just want to decline, can you decline voting? Abstain?
Oh, abstain? Yeah, sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say
Nothing?
It was more of a personal
gesture.
Okay.
Well, I would like to say that I think that this would be the perfect spot for Sebastian. I know that we all would like to get him into this executive group, and I think that his enthusiasm is just overwhelming, and I think he would do really well in this role. And I appreciate Inba, and I appreciate her efforts and her being here all the time. But I would love to give Sebastian a shot. That's
fine. Yeah, Jenny.
I was just going to make the comment that even though she's not here, Tori is also listed as a candidate. So I would like the group to at least discuss her candidacy.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that Tori's done a lot, and she's very kind of detail-oriented. And you know, when she gets on something, she really pursues it. Even with lack of like leadership, she'll keep pursuing something. She'll keep reminding us what she's working on, keep asking, what do you think about this? So I think she's a very kind of follow-through type of person. Very detailed, and I think she'd be great for that position.
And I'm gathering then as Vice Chair of Internal Operations. I'm sorry, I was just going to finish the comment. As Vice Chair of Internal Operations, then that's somebody that you could work with. Okay. Okay. One slide.
If you have a question about a meeting or an event or anything that happened during discussion, call Tori. She's got it. It's written down. She is the best note-taker
I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Peter and I have actually met with Tori, and she was working mm-hmm. on some things. But I am a little concerned that we didn't hear from her today. That really concerns me.
I'm actually hoping it's not something medical. Mm-hmm. Tori is expecting, so I don't know. Because I can't. She's very responsible in that way.
And if she hasn't been from showing,
yeah, I know. I'm concerned about it from that perspective because she's. Okay. It's really not like her not to do that.
It's most likely something happened.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Early. All right. So, any further discussion on the parliamentarian seats, the candidates are Tori Jacobs, Sebastian DiGiorgio, and Amy Mela. Okay.
As Peter, one question.
Yes.
Peter, you have been parliamentarian more than anybody else. What are some of the two or three most important skills and characteristics of that person to be able to be effective parliamentarian?
I think, for one, you shouldn't just have parliamentary skills, but you should be able to contribute to the executive committee, so you should definitely be someone with skills and attributes that assist the executive committee as a whole. As a parliamentarian, you should be aware of the charter and the rules, and those kind of questions do come up, like where does this fall in the rules, and being on top of those things is important. But I think Tori would be really good kind of keep trying those little kind of minutiae and details. I think she has a good head for that sort of thing.
All right. Are we ready to vote?
We're ready.
Faithful, bring those guys in, would you?
She's got to go.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Oh yes. Oh, look.
I think it was painful. and then I yawned.
And
inside of the room.
Butterfly now.
Must be low on. Certainly not.
Open one of the windows.
It's been very interesting.
All right, so I'm sorry that we ran over today, but it was important to get this all done. This will be my last act as chair of this committee. Collect the votes, and I'll announce the parliamentarian, and then ask Brian, as the new chair, to close the meeting. Yeah.
I have a question after
the votes are counted?
Yeah. Before your last.
Oh, all right.
I have a last question.
A final question for the chair.
Yeah.
Can I make a statement?
Yes, Ms. Mahoney.
I'd like to make a statement. I personally would like to thank Donna for her efforts and her dedication and her sincere efforts for making this group so successful over the past couple of years. I don't think we would be where we are right now if it hadn't been for you. And my personal gratitude goes to you and my great respect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes?
I called Tori. She was after the appointment. That's why she's not
here. I was Tori. I know. Okay. All right. Oh, dear. So, there's a tie for parliamentarians. And there's a tie vote.
So we're voting again?
We are between Sebastian and Inda.
Okay.
So we can give the two candidates an opportunity.
Did you actually
do a call off?
I think this is a point of order. Did you actually want to decline the nomination? Okay.
I think she's
more qualified. I think you have the right to decline the position.
You do have the right to do that.
Okay.
So with Sebastian declining. Now, Sebastian, that means that you have to be on four committees.
Okay. I'm here to help.
That's great. You know, I have to say we really appreciate your enthusiasm and the fact, please don't think that the fact that you moved down the list.
Oh, that's fine. Our office is in shambles just to warn you. We have directors that are gone. People that are out on leave. That's why I'm just doing it. There's people on medical leave. Directors that can
Ask me,
I don't know. So there's two of us running the office right now.
Well, we will really look forward to having you on the EA and on the different committees. But the new parliamentarian is Inda Mailer.
I need to adjourn.
Oh, yes. Leon Lawrence has one last question.
Are any of the new officers on the list of absenteeism? Just a joke.
No.
She can't tell you that anyway.
It's our first meeting.
It's our this is
as employee assembly, an official member.
Yeah.
And we're here.
And Donna, also for those people who did not attend the board meeting, Peter, who I think just acknowledge you. He also had a lot of nice things to say about you. I just want to people that were not there to be aware of that.
Oh, Chairman
Peter Miney.
Because you know what?
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Recognize your all that you have done on our behalf. And I thought the people that were not there should be aware of that. That even as high as the Board of Trustees, they also acknowledge Donna's contribution.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you. So I will turn the meeting over to our new chair.
I believe you have a motion from
Inda. Oh, yes. You need to entertain that motion.
And I second it.
Mr. Chair.
All in favor?
Aye.
I have some words to say.
Excellent meeting. You did a good job.
Donna, if you don't mind, pick your brain for me now.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Always. All year.
I'm done. This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.